A lot of sports last night. Shout out to the Wizards. First win of the year. Let's go. Maybe we talk a little whiz later in the program. Yankees. For the Aquarium Boys, that joint is over. I didn't love the ump strike zone. It seemed a little inconsistent, especially on the bottom half. And that was a big called third strike. Was that Torres, I think? But the Dodgers are just a wagon, dude. I don't know what to tell you. It was a good two TV night, though. Had a lot working. Still, even with the Wiz getting their first win, the World Series, I still watch mostly the football game. I talked to Bees last night at like 8, and he was really impressed that I was watching baseball instead of football. I was like, well, Bees, the football just hasn't kicked off yet. I think with that football game last night, I was reminded of a few things. Are we sure the Giants are well coached? They just make dumb mistakes. And Daniel Jones throws a bad pick late. And TJ Watt's a monster and forces that fumble late. But, like, they just make bad mistakes, dude. Like, over and over and over. They have some talent. The kid Tracy could play. For all the conversation that, you know, Motor Singletary was going to replace Saquon, it's all Tracy. And it does make you kind of, if you just want to play the math and the salary cap game, which oddly I think some fans are far too obsessed about salary cap space, like it's your money. Like there's any advantage to a fan for a team being $30 million under the cap if they're not spending to it. But the logic behind not paying veteran running backs because you can generally not match the level of production and success, but you can get near that level of production and success at a far cheaper rate was on display last night. Saquon's been killing it all year, but the kid Tyrone Tracy, a fifth rounder out of Purdue, I believe, has been fantastic since he's kind of assumed the role there for the Giants. Last night he went 20 carries for a buck 45 with a touchdown. But at the end of that game, I thought it was pretty apparent he was getting overcooked, and he kept coming off. He kept needing to blow, going to the sideline. But he was all the offense they had because Daniel Jones is just wildly inconsistent. And finally, Cam Hayward took him down, and Cam Hayward is a big man. Jeff, give me a size on Cam Hayward. That dude's got to be 6'3", 330 or something. Tracy's head hits the ground hard, and Hayward, this is pretty rare when it's not like a clear injury, like a bone is broken or like an ankle got twisted the wrong way. But when the defensive tackle, give me the size.
6'5", 295.
Damn.
Sheesh.
That's a big fella right there. Did you notice at the end of this game, he takes Tracy down hard, and I think he got linebacker support on it, and he calls for the trainers. Like, when the D-tackle is calling for the trainer to come help the running back, and there's no clear, like, oh, his arm went the wrong way, you know the kid is cooked. They took him right off the field. You hope that he's okay, because last night was one of those, man, they might be overusing this dude, but that's also the position. That's also the game. But just the Giants are a mess. I think you can make a real argument they're poorly coached. 11 penalties for 65 yards last night. And when they had a chance that, frankly, I thought was unnecessary, they pulled to within 8 late in the game. You could just kick there. There's no rule against kicking there. But all the analytics bros came at me last night when I asked, like, why do you feel compelled to go for that? Okay, I understand the math. You can go for it. I can subtract 8 from 14. I can do all these things. And if you want to play for the win on the road, that's fine. Did you see the play call? Because you could tell me all damn day to go for 2 there. But did you see the play they called on the 2-point conversion? I'm legit asking. Landfill, did you stay up and watch that? Have you seen it?
It was a dumb screen. And
yeah, but with like the, it was like swinging gate. Like it was, yeah. They had the line split and then nobody.
Yeah, and they
blocked.
Didn't block the guy? Yeah,
no,
yeah.
He ran like, straight through.
I don't know if maybe Daniel Jones, because I was back and forth on audio between that and the World Series. Maybe it seemed like Daniel Jones went fast on it, which I don't know why you would, but they certainly didn't block. The play was immediately blown up. That play call, which I believe Daboll took back play calling, was just unbelievably awful. You know, I was just thinking about this last night. So, John Mara, I feel like Mara is trying to do his best to let Joe Shane and Brian Daboll not have to deal with the New York media constantly asking about their jobs. And I applaud that from Mara, okay? But he keeps saying they're cool, they're fine, you know, don't worry about it. We're not looking to make changes. But if you're the Giants, how are you not looking to make changes? And if you're not, that team is now 2-6, I believe, this season, right? Yeah, they're 2-6. Since Daboll took over, they had the good year. They went 9-7-1, and they were able to beat the Vikings. Then they had to pay Danny Dimes, which just looks like a cataclysmic mistake for everybody who wants to celebrate their salary cap. Like, I don't know what the Giants have going there with Daniel Jones. I mean, they've drafted maybe fairly well. But if you are really going to not, if you're really going to keep going with Shane and Daboll, you get out of the Jones contract after this year, right? There's no guarantee on there. You start to save $20 million in cap space. Like, you can get out of it. You know what's great is I don't have to look at Tankathon anymore for where the Commanders are going to be drafting. If the season ended today, you know where Washington would pick?
29th.
Correct.
Silly.
Dude, you know what's awesome? This is now my fourth football season doing this radio program. I've been doing football for a while, but 4 hours of radio is a different beast. This is our fourth season of B. Mitch and Finley, and nobody's calling about the draft. Like, we haven't made it to Halloween without draft talk in a while, and damn, that feels good. But if you're the Giants, dude, just let me play this out. Right now, the Giants have the 9th pick. Who knows what that looks like down the road? I watch a lot of college football. Maybe outside of Cam Ward, I don't know that I'm particularly excited about any of these quarterbacks. But if you're John Mara and you're telling the truth, and maybe it is to be determined. I think that's fair if it's a tentative assurance about his coach and general manager. But, like, if you don't make a change and you want to keep running it with this crew, you're talking about a team that they went 6-11 last year, 2-6 this year. They make bonehead penalties. The play call on that 2-point conversion was just asinine to me. And you're going to have a top 10 pick. You're going to let these dudes run the show again? Like, you're going to re-rack it with this crew and you're going to end up drafting Quinn Ewers to rebuild the franchise? I don't know. Like, you never, the NFL's gone crazy. Maybe, like, they trade for Dak. Who the hell knows, right? But is this, it's one thing to want some continuity, and I understand that and applaud it, but do you want continuity with these dudes? Like, have they shown you that? And then I flip it over to Pittsburgh, watching them last night, who there is some bizarre scouting element to watching Monday Night Football and knowing that's the Commanders' next two games. You know what I mean? Like, all right, well, they got the Giants this coming weekend, and then they get the Steelers. Also, let's point out a little schedule incongruity if we can. Commanders just played the Bears coming off a bye. Then they get the Steelers coming off a bye. And their bye's not till week 14. File that one away, Jeff, when we air our grievances later in the year. That you get two teams coming off a bye and you don't get your bye till damn near the end of the season? Things that make you go, but the things with New York that I think are very alarming, the way they ran the football against Pittsburgh, that's a really good defense. I don't know what Tracy's status is. Jeff, see if you give me a Tyrone Tracy injury update from last night. I imagine he was concussed. It sure looked that way. And a concussion on a short week to a running back where there's a lot of collisions, I'm going to let the doctors handle that, but that would seem pretty doubtful to me. Malik Nabers drops the ball all the time. He's an explosive talent, but the drops are bad.
He suffered a concussion.
He's concussed. So he's going to be in the protocol. I find that hard to believe. He's ready to rock Sunday at 1 o'clock, but things happen. So I guess they lean back on Singletary. Attention, New York. Everybody wanted to run Bobby Johnson out of town and say he was the problem with that Giants O-line. I think you're wrong. I think you've been proven incorrect, as a matter of fact. Bobby Johnson here in Washington, that O-line is performing. Those guys love him. I think that for a lot of those guys that were in the room last year, the change from Eric Bieniemy and Juan Castillo to Cliff Kingsbury and Bobby Johnson, very well received. Believe me when I say that, very well received. On the Washington end of this, we got to see what's up with B-Rob. He didn't get many carries in the second half. I guess he was on the junkies this morning. I don't know if they asked him about that. If they did, I'd love to hear that answer. He was really a non-factor from the third quarter on. But for the Giants, are you really going to re-rack that? You think it's different without Danny Dimes as some rookie quarterback? Or a rookie and Tyrod? Or a rookie and Brissett? I don't know what they got. And I understand and applaud Mara because they've had so much turnover. If you think about since they fired Coughlin, which maybe was the wrong move, I don't know. And maybe they claimed it wasn't a firing and he retired, but he didn't seem very happy about it. Think about what has rolled through. So they hired Gettleman up there, who just churned and burned coaches. You went McAdoo, if you recall, who they gave Spagnuolo an interim chance at it. They fire Spags at the end of the year. He goes to be the Chiefs DC and just keeps winning assistant of the year. Maybe should have given Spags a real chance at it. I don't know. Then they hired, I'm going to be totally honest with you here, Lamphill. The Shermer that the Giants hired, what was his first name? It was either Kevin, Pat, or Mike. Giants head coach, 2 seasons, Shermer.
I think it was Pat.
Jeff, you got a guess? I know it's either Kevin, Pat, or Mike.
I feel strongly that it was not Mike.
Okay.
But it could have been Kevin. I think it was Pat.
Because there's another Shermer that was on the Skins staff that was his son. I
put like 80% that it's Pat.
80% Pat. Where you at, Jeff?
I'm going to go with that, too, because that name just sounds familiar.
Pat Shermer. Way to go there, boys. Pat Shermer was there 2 seasons. I mean, listen to the record since they fired Coughlin, okay? McAdoo gets an 11-5, then they immediately fall apart. New York chews him up, 3-13. Shermer, 2 seasons, 5-11, 4-12. Remember Joe Judge? Remember how that went? Joe Judge lasted 2 years, 6-10, 4-13. They hired Daboll. He has the 9-7-1 year where they win that Vikings. Dude, if you go back and think about this, I believe that Giants team made the playoffs at 8-7-1, right? Okay, no, they were 9-7-1 in the regular season. The Vikings win got them to 10-7-1. If the New York Giants football organization could go back and redo it, they beat the Vikings, who were really good that year, at Minnesota. If you remember, Kirk had to check down on fourth down in the playoffs. That won't haunt him. They beat the Vikes 31-24 to go to the division round. Then they play the Eagles the year the Eagles were a wagon and went to the Super Bowl, got their doors blown off 38-7. You get some truth serum in John Mara, hell, even Brian Daboll. You think they wish they lost that Viking game? Because that's what got Daniel Jones paid. They paid him $45 million a year for the next 2 years. And then they weren't in the quarterback sweepstakes in all these drafts. I don't know. I almost wonder the way he hadn't been good, but I almost wonder if they wish they took Bo Nix or even J.J. McCarthy, who got injured. When the Giants send out their renew your season tickets because of this, what is that angle? Jeff, what are they selling? Dexter Lawrence is fantastic. I don't know that a nose tackle sells tickets. Just that it's New York? You want to be there?
I guess. Or they got strong fandom. We was in it the same way.
We have seen this movie. Whether you make a change or not, and you don't want to, I understand that for continuity. I don't know. All that said, I think it's terrifying that the Commanders are going up there as favorites this weekend. And then you flip to the Steelers, and we all kind of questioned why you make the move from Fields to Russ Wilson. Mike Tomlin rarely misses, dude. Wilson last night was really good. 20 to 28, 278. He connected on a couple deep balls that were really good throws. He did have the fumble at a really inopportune time. Russ also not very interested in running with the football. Not interested in a lot of contact anymore. But when that Steelers pass rush, and TJ Watt is phenomenal, I don't want to take anything away from him, but Alex Highsmith on the other side, damn good. Just really, really good. And Minka Fitzpatrick floating around on the back end. That team is good, man. And I don't know, you know, kind of how it goes forward. I do know this, Lanville, that there's no guarantees on Highsmith's contract next year, the year after. Like, he signed an extension, and he's making good money, but there's no guaranteed money. And if that is a dude that ever hit free agency, and he's young, and he's a really high motor, aggressive pass rusher, that's the kind of fella I'd have some interest in the free agent market, Lanville. I want you to know that. The Steelers, dude, they might be something that matters. And for all the talk of the Ravens, and now the Bengals seem like they're fading, the Steelers might be something that matters. And it's easy if you want to be dismissive of them. But since Russ, they've always had the defense. Since Russ has taken over, the offense now has a vertical pass game. They run the ball well. That's something to watch. If you look just at the AFC, Bills are 6-2, Steelers are 6-2, Ravens after that god-awful loss to Cleveland, 5-3, Houston 6-2, Chiefs 7-0. The cream is starting to separate from the crop in the AFC. Sure, the Broncos are 5-3. I think that's, like, if the Broncos get in as the wild card and have to play Houston or Baltimore, imagine if Baltimore gets to go to Denver. Give me all the stock in the Ravens in that game. I think I would look at Denver as a little fool's goldie, but they do have a good defense and they try to run the ball. Playoffs right now would be Broncos going to Buffalo in round one. I will lay the points, Lanville. Whatever the points are, I will lay them.